Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, with gratitude for all you've done for our salvation, we rejoice to be called Christians. Rule in our hearts and send your Holy Spirit to work and dwell within us so that we always conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of our calling as children of God. Give us all hearts that look out for others more than we look out for ourselves. Give us hearts that love others like you love us, and hearts that share the gospel with others and rejoice to see and be a part of the work of your kingdom. Bless all of us in our worship this morning, in your saving name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We'll sing the verses printed in your bulletin. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin in the middle of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, Therefore, we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered here to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you. We pray. Eternal God, merciful Father, you have appointed your Son as judge of the living and the dead. Enable us to wait for the day of his return with our eyes fixed on him and the kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for today is a responsive reading of Psalm 47. Today is the last Sunday in the church year, a Sunday that often is a celebration of Jesus as being the King of kings and Lord of lords. In this psalm, you'll see God being proclaimed as the King of all the earth and the God who rules over the nations. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew. We read from chapter 27, verses 27 through 31. Glory to you, O Lord. This reading takes place before Jesus' crucifixion, and a reminder that Jesus was declared to be the King of the Jews by the soldiers, but not in a respectful way, but in a way that was meant to bring him shame. And the crown he wore that day was the crown of thorns. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, knelt in front of him and mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spit on him, took the staff and hit him repeatedly on his head. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Here ends our gospel reading. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 6. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, The Head That Once Was Crowned with Thorns.
Please rise.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The text for our meditation this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 2. We read verses 9 through 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. As I mentioned a little earlier in the service, on the last Sunday of the church year, we usually do celebrate the kingship of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus, of course, is a king unlike any other king. And this unique king has some very unique crowns, crowns which reflect Jesus' unique kingship. As I was working on the sermon this week, I realized we do have some banners that speak of some of the crowns of Jesus on our wall. I believe those were originally made for maybe a tour choir concert that had that theme of the crowns of Christ. So we kind of have this reminder every week as we come to our worship services of the crowns of Jesus. And so today, as we praise our heavenly King Jesus and we sing out the familiar words of the hymn we're about to sing, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," we'll be considering some of the crowns of Christ the King. First of all, what do you think would be a fitting crown for such a king? A fitting crown for the King of Kings. Probably the first thing that would come to my mind would be the crown jewels in England. And according to the UK's Historic Royal Places website, they say the crown jewels are the nation's most precious treasures, including the sacred coronation regalia used at the coronation of new monarchs. We just saw some of these brought out just this past year, the crowning of their king. Comprising more than 100 objects and over 23,000 gemstones, the crown jewels are priceless, being of incalculable, easy for me to say, cultural, historical, and symbolic value. In the printed copies of the sermon today, you'll see a photo of one of the crowns from the crown jewels, probably the most famous crown, this crown. It is dated back to 1616. It is called St. Edward's Crown. And according to that same website, St. Edward's Crown is the most important and sacred of all the crowns. It is used only at the moment of crowning itself. Incredibly ornate, incredibly valuable crown, very old, just used at the coronation, just that one time when the king is crowned. The most priceless, the most important and sacred of all the crowns, that sounds like the perfect crown for the heavenly King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Right? You'd think so. But as you probably already know, Jesus never wore a crown like this one. Never wore a St. Edward's crown or one even like it. But instead, the first crown that Jesus chose to wear was the one we heard about in our gospel reading. He wore this crown, the crown of thorns, is on one of the banners that you see in our church building today. The crown of thorns was the crown he wore at his first coronation. Instead of a majestic ceremony, it was actually a coronation of ridicule, humiliation, and pain at the hands of the Roman soldiers. As we read in our gospel reading, the governor's soldiers stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, knelt in front of him, and mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, took the staff, and hit him repeatedly on his head. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe, put his own clothes on him, then they led him away to crucify him. What kind of king is this? Why would Jesus, the King of Kings, do this and go through this? Do you think Jesus' disciples and his followers had the same thoughts when they saw Jesus arrested, beaten, taken to the cross, and then willingly be crucified? This is the Messiah. This is the Christ that we've been waiting for, the King that God has sent to save us. He won't even fight back. Look how weak he looks. Now he's allowing himself to be put to death. What is he doing? Well, Jesus, of course, knew exactly what he was doing. He willingly stepped down from heaven's glory, and as our text puts it from Hebrews, Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. He willingly wrapped himself in human flesh and became one of us. He willingly made his first throne a wooden manger. During every breath of his life, he lived in perfect obedience to God's law as our substitute. It's one of the reasons he became one of us. And finally, at the end of his life, he willingly took that crown of thorns and that horrible cross. Why? Again, as our text from Hebrews says, Jesus went through the suffering of death that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. It also says that God made Jesus the captain of our salvation, perfect or complete, through suffering. He wore that crown of thorns so that you and I would never have to. Jesus took the stains of sin on his soul so that ours would be washed clean, that we would be declared righteous before God. He tasted death and hell so that we would have life forever in heaven. But of course, Jesus did not wear that crown of thorns forever. Because of his perfect obedience and because he willingly wore that crown and endured the suffering of death, our text tells us that God has crowned Jesus with glory and honor. That's a crown we don't often think of Jesus wearing because we don't always realize it. We don't always realize that Jesus is now wearing that crown of glory and honor and ruling over all things in heaven and on earth for the good of his believers. We look at the world around us, we don't always think it looks that way. Yet Paul writes in Ephesians, "He, God the Father, raised him, Christ, from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power and dominion, and above every name that is given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God has also placed all things under his feet and made him head over everything for the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Again, we don't always or may not always see Jesus' power and ruling at work. We may not always be able to understand the mysterious ways in which he's controlling all things for the good of his church. We may even look at this world and think that things are completely out of control. No one's got the reins of this out of control world. But make no mistake, there will come a day when everyone will see clearly. Everyone will see with their own eyes that Jesus is King when he comes again in glory to judge all people on the last day. Again, more words from the Apostle Paul, this time from Philippians chapter 2. "Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So what does all of this mean for us? Well, because Jesus has been crowned with glory and honor in heaven, it means, first of all, that we have the assurances in this life that Jesus, our King, is using his power and his ruling authority, his perfect love, protecting us, working all things out for our good with his almighty power, that he's guiding all things, directing and controlling all things in our lives and even in the entire universe itself for our eternal good. And secondly, because he wore that crown of thorns, another crown comes into the picture. This, however, is a crown that our King Jesus gives to us. It is the crown of life. Jesus tells us in Revelation chapter 2, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." And the crown of life, by that, Jesus means real life, eternal life in heaven with Him. Have you seen or heard those words before here in this church? They are right there each and every Sunday. "I will give you the crown of life." A reminder that because Jesus wore that crown of thorns, that is the crown He now gives to you and to me. Amazingly, this is not the only crown that Jesus has won for us. That would be enough, wouldn't it? The crown of life. Because Jesus now wears the crown of glory, our text tells us that He has brought many sons to glory. Those words are speaking about you and me. Yes, even if you are a female, the Bible says, and this verse says, you and I are sons. Why does it say sons? Because that means we are the heirs. We are the heirs of His kingdom. We are the ones who are going to rule in heaven with Him and receive a crown of glory of our own. Isn't that an amazing thought? That because we have Jesus, because He has given us the crown of life and the crown of glory, because He did that, we who deserved actually the crown of thorns now have the crown of life and the crown of glory. We who deserve the crown of death have eternal life. Instead, Jesus was the one that wore that wretched crown, willingly and lovingly. Now that wretched crown that was meant to humiliate Him and inflict pain on Him is, despite the claims made about St. Edward's crown, it is the most precious, priceless, the most important and most sacred of all the crowns. Thank you, Jesus, for wearing that crown so that He and all of us could be crowned with glory and eternal life. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, you're invited to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We'll continue with the hymn that was referenced in our sermon today, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." Please rise. Are there any prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O Jesus Christ, our King and Savior, we stand before you with heads bowed in humble awe and reverence. You present to us a most remarkable mystery, for you are both divine, God, and human. Through you, all things were created in heaven and on earth, and yet you still have chose to come here as our brother, to live in lowliness, and to suffer and die for our sins on the cross. All this you did because of your great love for us sinners. How can our lips sing all the praise that is due your holy saving name? As members of your kingdom by faith, we long to see the day when you, the King of Kings, will come again to take us to heaven. Oh, the glory of that day that we will hear the sound of your voice calling the dead from their graves. We long to behold your majesty as you invite the faithful to share in the joys and pleasures that last forever. Until that day, intercede to the Father on our behalf for all of our needs. Be always near to us to guard and defend us, to cheer us and comfort us, and to give us your help. Through the Holy Spirit, give us your grace, so that we never fall from faith, never fail to worship you, nor tire of serving you with loving obedience. Strengthen our ability to resist sin. Lead us continually into your word, giving us a desire to hear it preached, as well as a love for reading and studying it in our homes. Impress the truths of your word upon our minds and hearts. Give us a hunger and thirst for the Lord's Supper, and cause us to receive the sacrament in faith as a gracious seal of divine forgiveness. Remind us mightily that our sins were washed away through the water and word of baptism for our daily comfort and encouragement. Fill us continually with thoughts of heaven. Precious Lord, our sinful flesh daily leads us into all types of sin and evil lust. We ask you to forgive us and grant us victory over our temptations. All praise to our God forever, to you, to the Father, and the Holy Spirit. In your name we pray these things as we pray together now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is, "Look You Saints, the Sight is Glorious." I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray you've been blessed through the message you've heard again today. A few announcements from the bulletin. First for today, following our service, the children will be having their first children's Christmas program practice. No practice today. Anyone coming from school?
No.
Not today. Okay.
Well, only one person and I texted
them. Gotcha. Okay. Next Sunday we'll have our first practice, and that will be actually at 12:30 because next Sunday we'll be decorating the church for Christmas. And the Women's Auxiliary is providing a soup lunch, not as a bribe, but as a incentive to anyone who'd like to stay for the Christmas decorating. We are welcome to a soup lunch, and then we'll put the decorations up on the tree. Following that decorating, then the first children's practice will be next week around 12:30. For this week, Tuesday, I'll be heading up to Stockton for the worship service there at Oakmont at 2 p.m., and then Sacramento visits and worship service at Forever Easter House at 4:30. Wednesday, Bible instruction class with Gary is at 11:30. Confirmation class with Natalie is at 4 p.m., and then the church council and elders meet Wednesday as well at 7 p.m. via Zoom. Next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent. Our Bible study will be at 9 a.m. Worship service with communion will be next Sunday at 10. And the tree decorating, the lunch, and children's program practice. The donation box is in the entryway. If you'd like to give any non-perishable food items or gift cards for the Community Services Agency, please do so during the coming weeks. One of our neighbors has a couple of citrus trees, and she often calls me and says, "It's the citrus lady. We've got tangerines or grapefruit, and today she brought us a bunch of tangerines." So take as many as you'd like. There's 3 bags of tangerines in the entryway. Help yourself, please. Bottom of the back page of the bulletin, you see the Christmas season worship schedule. We will have a Wednesday worship with Christmas carols and Christmas cookies on the 13th. That's at 7 o'clock. We'll be here at church. And then Christmas Eve lands on a Sunday this year, so our Christmas Eve service with the children will actually be a morning service, 10 a.m. on Christmas Eve. That will be a joint worship service with both of our congregations. And then Christmas Day, we'll have our joint worship service in Hayward at 11 a.m. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.